You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford. Are you?
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And we are back with part two of our Traitors season three coverage. And joining us today to talk all things Traitors season three and beyond, as well as some Housewives and Bravo catch up as well, we have Brendan and Dan returning from the Come Through Queen podcast. What's up, guys?
Hey, happy to be back.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. So we had you guys on last season talking about the Traitors season two. This is season three. The last we left off on our coverage, we covered the first half of the season, episodes one through six. So this will be kind of a big picture, writ large conversation now that the season is concluded, maybe focusing a little bit more on some of the particulars of the second half, but also a kind of state of the Traitors and how do we feel about the season. So let's start there. How did we feel about how everything wrapped up in season three of the Traitors?
Good one over evil, I think.
I was ultimately happy with how everything shook out, but like I feel that this season really showed a lot of flaws in the game. Because while things shook out how they shook out, like, let's just be real. And like, just going forward, guys, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched, like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, Ivar should not have been there.
Right.
Right. And like, and to a certain extent, like Dolores, and like, I stan Dolores.
I was going to say, I know this is a pro housewife house right now, but was Dolores the best one chosen? Was that a casting error? She refused to play the game for the most part.
she voted with her heart, not with her head.
And I think like, I like characters like that on this show. And I say that as a mostly not gamer. I watch Big Brother, but like I'm more for the antics and more for the character development. So I like Dolores, but I also loved watching Sheree last year, and she was probably a worse player than Dolores.
Right. Mm. You could argue that for MJ as well, for being honest, from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So four faithfuls won. We had Dylan, we had Gabby, Ivor, and Dolores. The most faithfuls to ever win a season, I think, in all of its iterations or so.
Oh, interesting.
However, I will say, it felt pretty anticlimactic to me. There was everyone voted to end the game on the first round. There was no faithful on faithful violence at the end.
I know. It really would have been great if they like were like, you know what, Gabby, you are a fucking traitor. Like, I think Gabby's a traitor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would have liked, I thought that, and I just thought like from a producer standpoint that like they would have worked some of that in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like we were, it's like, who do we expect to vote to banish again? Like, none of these people are really cut out for that.
And I think that gets to the point of, is Ivor, are people like Dolores, are those casting mistakes if they're not willing to give the type of game that makes the best version of television?
I'm not even sure Dolores like understood the rules or like what was possible. like this
Tom
like
Sandoval was a traitor.
Yeah, Tom's she would have voted to banish again and vote out Tom Sandoval, even though he's not even there. Like, that's what she would have done.
Can we talk about Tom for a second? For someone who didn't win the Traitors, I feel like outside of Gabby Windy, he probably won like the coverage story of this season.
I'm over him having like this being his redemption story. It's like, no, friend, like you're so hell.
I think it worked for a lot of people.
Not for this Bravo fan.
I do. I agree with Dan here. I definitely think it worked. It didn't work for me either, but I think he can have a future on more of these competition shows for sure. I know he already did the really hard one, like the actual like
Special Forces,
where JoJo Siwa carried him.
Yes,
exactly. But I mean, like, I think people want to see him on these shows more to make a fool of himself more.
Yeah. He's more palatable outside the context of hanging out with his Vanderpump Rules friends.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, it's where, like, if he needs to excel at what he's good at, and what he's good at is being completely delusional, and the best places to be completely delusional are on, like, these kind of game and strategy-based competition shows.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the court jester, and maybe that is his place in society, really.
Yeah. So let's do this, guys. I'm going to go back through and just kind of call out some highlights from this back half of the season, because a lot did happen. When we last left off our coverage, Brandy, we had Carol and Danielle and Boston Rob still in the turret. Ooh. As mm-hmm. the traitors. Mm. And Wes was the most recent banishment. So it's a lot has happened since then. So we've saw, I'm just going to kind of roll through some things here. We had the bug challenge, which I thought was one of the highlights.
Highlights mm-hmm. for sure.
Oh, best challenge of the season, maybe.
That's when they were in the wedding clothes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Wedding clothes, and bug challenge.
And Rob was talking Sierra down.
Yeah.
So great.
I just love their cute little connection there. I thought that was a highlight of that episode.
Did you see that they just did a Dunkin' commercial together?
I did see that. It looked like it was filmed on an iPhone, though. I'm like, did that good literally enough. Film yesterday?
Yes.
Another challenge that I liked the episode after that, back on the Sandoval of it all, was the nursery rhymes.
Yeah. Oh my God, the dolls, Tom's day. Like, this is, and you know, this is why he makes such great TV. That motherfucker said, like, with a straight face, you know what? I'm going to do the singing here because I'm the only person here with a musical background.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing like the confidence of like a mediocre man who's been on TV for a while. It's really beautiful to behold. Mm,
truly.
I mean, I think these two episodes are part of like a run of episodes that were all really good. Like mm-hmm. I was having a blast.
This was a good run of the season. We also had in this run, the face-to-face murders when we lost Chriselle, which I thought was really good. And then the morning after with Sam Asghari's one strategic move of asking everyone who was up for murder what was Alan wearing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Almost catching Carolyn until Sandoval jumped and answered for her and ruined the whole plan. That was really fun. It did make me think again, like, it took Sam 8 episodes to have a good idea, and then we lost him the very next episode. Like,
so I happened to listen to him on Nick Vial's podcast, which a lot of these contestants have popped up on. And he was talking about how his strategy was like, okay, so he got out of the car, and like a lot of these people are like, oh, you're Britney's ex-husband. And he's like, oh God, I don't want to like make a big scene. I don't want to be the center of attention. So he's like, the way I'm going to play this game is like, be as quiet as I can in the beginning, which unfortunately doesn't make for great television. Mm. I mean, he didn't acknowledge that. I'm like, adding that in. And then just try to be like as quietly strategic as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's great if you're like taking this game seriously, but that's not going to make you a star.
Yeah.
I listened to Brittany on another podcast also, and she said that was her strategy too as well, which also showed because she was quiet as a mouse at the very beginning.
She was quiet as a mouse at the beginning.
Yeah.
And she showed up here. Her first big moment that I clocked was episode 7 when Boston Rob gets banished. I think she was the one really pushing for most of that because Rob was going at Brittany at that roundtable.
Yeah.
Right. True. Yeah.
No, she had a good second half of the season.
Yeah, and I think it was just surprising for her to be so quiet as somebody who I literally used to watch just YouTube compilations of her on her Big Brother seasons because she was like kind of the confessional queen.
Hmm.
And it like hit in a very certain like 2008 way that like was just like so good for the time. Mm-hmm. And then to have her in the traitors and she was very quiet at the beginning, I was disappointed, but I did think she came out of her shell.
Yeah, she did. I feel like by episode 8, 9, although I do think, and I would love to know you guys' thoughts on this, like, I think it was a mistake for Danielle to pick her. Danielle should, like, why didn't she pick Dylan?
I know.
If she had picked Dylan, they could have written it to the end.
I was, when she picked Brittany, I was yelling to myself at home, you should have picked Dylan for sure.
I would think that Dylan might be savvy enough to flip it back on Danielle, though. I think Danielle was screwed no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, I would have wanted Dylan to win as a traitor. Like, I'd be totally fine with him screwing Danielle over like that. Par for the course.
Yeah.
Make your name. But I think he should have been a traitor. And I will also say that, like, so Pilot Pete last season really rubbed me the right way. But, like, the wrong way.
Yeah, I was going to say. Brady, you historically did not like Pilot Pete.
All right, Christina Aguilera.
I found him very attractive, but like, and I hated myself for that. But yeah, like, I really didn't like him. And like, at first, like, that's who like Dylan was like giving me vibes of. But then I was like, but I love Dylan.
Mm.
I love him. I want the best for him, for my baby boy.
Yeah. He's a sweetie.
from that point in the season, the next kind of couple episodes, the big story was Danielle versus Carolyn mm-hmm. going after each other. And this is a format question that I have that just drove me crazy. So Boston Rob gets banished. Mm-hmm. There's two traitors left. Didn't, when there were two left last season, Alan was like, as per the rules, when a traitor gets out, gets banished, you get to recruit. And this time, it like, they couldn't recruit right away. Was it because they had like the face-to-face murder already scheduled and they couldn't do two things at the same time? It's just, I'm beginning to be more and more enraged by just the making up as we go along aspect of this show.
I know. I laughed when you said as per the rules, as if we're not just making this up.
Sometimes he literally says that. It's crazy.
And I'm just like, where is this rule book, Alan?
Yeah.
Like
in his heart, like how Dolores yeah. votes.
It's giving Wikipedia.
But then the next night, Sierra's banished and now they can recruit. And then they go back and forth and Carolyn wins out and they don't recruit. Now here's a question. If Carolyn let Danielle recruit Brittany at that stage, do you think anything would have turned out differently?
They would have kicked Caroline out the next round. There's no doubt that like if Danielle got Brittany in there, like whenever she got her in there, like she thinks they're riding together till the end.
Yeah, I wonder if Brittany would have had more of a chance in the end if she had been a traitor earlier, though.
Yeah.
Like a little more time to stretch her legs or something. I think like the reason she wasn't able to do anything at the very end was because she was such a late traitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like couldn't strategize, I guess. I don't know.
Even though it, like doing it so late sucked for both for Brittany and Danielle, that one episode of the two of them scrambling, trying to figure out what to do as the two traitors, mm-hmm. I thought was another great episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that episode I had the most the most trouble with. I did like the scramble, but I also just, as a fan, was so pro Carolyn and so anti Danielle that the way it shook out just made me mad as a viewer,
because right.
the person I wanted to win wasn't winning. And not only that, she kind of did herself in with that whole chess game challenge.
Like, Carolyn, what were you doing? Like, you, like, that was frustrating.
It was really
like,
tough to watch.
She just did everything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like that challenge though, because it's like,
yeah,
I wish more of the challenge would like reveal something about who could possibly be a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue that that's the literally only one that did all season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's something that we could talk more about as far as like, what does the show need to do? Less random challenges, more social based challenges, or asking questions about each other and of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And why I think that makes it more fun too, is that if all of the challenges, you're kind of getting close to a traitor, that means that we're kind of voting out traitors a little bit more regularly and getting new traitors recruited in. So it's always like, I feel like the calculus is always changing.
Yes.
So like, you can never really, it's like, okay, well, we got Dan out, but like, there's always going to be, you always know that there's going to be more traitors.
Right.
Yeah.
Or right. You know, it'd be interesting to, circling around the challenges again in a way to, because I think the challenges are a fundamentally broken part of the show. And if we're talking about them now, let's jump on this. Like, and I think, did we touch on this with Darren, Brandy? Like maybe one way to shift it is that you have to have a challenge every episode just for the structure of the show. So you can't get rid of them, but don't make them for money. Set out from the beginning, hey guys, there's $250,000 or $500,000 at stake this season. It's there. Make it to the end. You have a shot at it. And throughout, the challenges are all not just shields from murder, but immunity from banishment you can earn, or you can earn things like, if you win today's challenge, you will get the chance to opt into becoming a traitor. If you want, you didn't get picked, but you want your chance, win this challenge. And you could determine in secrecy, cover of darkness, whatever, if you want to be a traitor or not. And it's like a bonus that only Alan tells you after you've won or something crazy.
Or let's not save the seer until the last episode.
Right.
Let's do that sooner.
I know.
The seer. Oh my God. That was so annoying. Like,
like not only saving until the last episode, but like ending on that, first of all, ending on that cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then not only are we ending on the cliffhanger, but then we also don't know who the seer is yet. But
that
like,
was such bad television in terms of like setting up the seer. And then like, we don't talk about it the rest of the episode. I was like, did I look down at my phone for too long while watching this and like miss something?
Well, because it was heavily implied, and we're talking about episode 10 now.
Yeah.
So Carolyn has just been banished at the end of episode 9. Danielle.
And her hysteric.
So good. So good.
But if you're not rooting for Danielle, it's so annoying. And I hate it so much. That was so annoying. I understand the level of television that it was. It just did not light me up like it lit up other people.
So like, I think by this season, I'm like just letting go and letting God. Like, I can't take this seriously because then I will be upset like you are about like how dumb some of this game is. Like, I'm just here hanging out with my friends at this point and watching them be crazy.
I think that's how you kind of have to look at the US version because it's like the celebrity focus one. A lot of these celebrities, it's a job for them. They're coming for the paycheck. They're not they're not gaming in the way that I understand that a lot of the non-US versions play.
Certainly.
If I have to hear one more person tell me how good UK is, I'm gonna blow a gasket. But I'll eventually get to it.
I'll delete that next note. Okay.
No, I'm gonna get to it. But yeah, I mean, like the Seer thing, and then once we finally do find out that the Seer is Brittany, there was like, it felt like there were no stakes to her little sit down with Gabby. Mm-hmm. It felt like, I don't know if anyone here watches Drag Race, but like the quote unquote Tic Tac lunch that happens between RuPaul and like the finalists at the end of like the show. It felt like
it did.
It just was so casual and it like meant nothing. And I like both of them, so I liked being with the girls, but it's like, it really meant nothing.
It reminded me of a bachelor bachelorette date where you know there's absolutely no chemistry and it's not going to work out.
Right.
Yeah.
All the way complete with the empty plate of food that never gets filled up because it's a reality TV show date.
It was too late in the season to do anything with it because it's like too risky to go hard on like lying about the Seer and like, I don't know.
You need the Seer when there's still like 12 people left in this game.
Yeah.
You know, like when we're really not sure is Rob a traitor or not, or and Dylan doesn't know who to align. Like, we need way more stakes.
And also there needs to be like just the what I didn't like about, I mean, among like most of it, like between Gabby and Brittany was that like I also wanted Gabby to start being like, wait, like could she be a traitor? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted more that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted them to both come away like, in an ideal world, they would have come away with Brittany thinking that, like, all right, like, I'm going to go in. I'm going to let them know that, like, Gabby's obviously faithful so that, like, they're not going to, like, think that, like, I tried to, like, lie on her or whatever.
Yeah.
And for Gabby to come out and be like, I don't know, the questions that Brittany was asking me, like, I think this bitch is a traitor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There was a lot they left on the table.
For sure. Before I forget, I know we were just talking about the money. And like the winners end up getting about 50K. I gotta imagine their fees are higher than 50K.
Gotta be.
Here's a question, Brandy. Do we think their fees are consistent across the board, or do you think they're all kind of individually negotiated?
I think they're individually negotiated.
I would think so too. Like Boston Rob's getting a lot more than fucking Ivar is.
Right? For sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to go back to that you said, Dan, about other possible things that could happen. Because of the challenge, I think, or because of the challenges, I think what you said, immunity from banishment could be such a good one. Mm. And I know that's something that happens on, like, an immunity idol is something that happens on Survivor. So, like, they'll go through the vote. And then if that person is about to be voted off, or if, like, somebody's close ally is about to be voted off, they get to pull the immunity shield. Like, how fun.
Yeah. I mean, and they could do it a number of different ways too. They could say, if you win, it's yours and everybody knows you can't be voted for. Or it could be like you're saying, like it's a Survivor idol where you win, you get it. Do you want to keep it? Do you play it before the votes are cast or after? They could have fun with that. Like there's a lot you could do with immunity sort of stuff around the round table.
Yeah.
I would love if nobody knew. Like how they do with the shields. Like I'm not gonna tell anybody so that like you don't know who you're killing.
That's your favorite thing, Brandy. You love
it. It really is my favorite thing.
I love that.
Like,
yeah.
Like if you do that, like you're traitor of the week of the year for me.
And it's more immediate to the banishment. I don't like the save from the banishment because I feel like when we're winning the shields, we have to go through the banishment in order to even use the shield.
Like when Sierra won hers at the doll challenge, we were thrilled because we're like, there's still this coffin theory. And then like, oh, wait, but this doesn't matter because this is for getting murdered, not for getting banished.
Yeah.
Was the point.
A waste.
And like having it be revealed, like after all the votes, it's like, all right, Dan, like, you know, the votes are in, you're banished from my castle. And you're like, actually, Alan, I'm not.
Yeah. surprise, bitch.
Okay. I have one more format complaint and then we can move on from this topic.
Okay.
Why? So they said at the beginning of the season, they're like, at the end of the game, you won't be able to reveal whether you're a faithful or traitor. So you'll have to rely on your gut to know that whoever's banished, if they're a faithful or traitor, right? They mentioned that at the very beginning. And I think it was messaged that like at the fire of truth, the final fire, that's when this will happen, where whoever gets banished, if anyone, they won't be able to reveal. So you'll never truly know when to end the game or not, which is interesting enough. But then it also applied to this final round table before the final fire. Like, why wasn't Brittany allowed to say if she was a traitor or faithful when at every other round table they were, except for this last one at the final five, but then also the final fire? It just wasn't clearly messaged and it drove me insane. Like,
did that not happen last year?
No. Right up until the very end. Like, if you got banished, even at the final fire, you had to say if you were a faithful or a traitor.
Okay.
I think they might. What if they just like made an executive decision? Because like if they revealed Brittany to be a traitor, it might have been like too obvious.
Yeah.
So they just like made a choice. I don't know. That's my best guess.
But that in and of itself makes me mad. They shouldn't have to make that. If the format were strong enough, they wouldn't have to make that choice.
Yeah, totally. Sure.
All of that said, I still enjoy the traitors and I'm still really excited for season four and I'm going to watch UK. And I'm like, I still really, really love the show.
I'm sad that it's off. Like that was a fun, that was like a fun thing to look forward to for my Friday Pelotoning.
It is like a nice way to get us through like the real doldrums of winter and usher us into spring. Mm-hmm. It's like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Reunion thoughts.
I thought this was the best one of the three US reunions.
Best traitors reunion, still bottom three Bravo Peacock reunion.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, it's not like it was fine for traitors, but like, this isn't the kind of, I don't know, like, there's a reason that the reunions work so well for the Housewives. Like, you spent this season of like unresolved issues and things that have come out in the press and this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And it really feels like you can get some wrap up on stuff. I don't feel like we're with the traitors long enough to have these kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. So like I guess there's a reason that it's, you know, 45 minutes and it's only one part.
Yeah. I mean that plus there's actual stakes to a Housewives reunion. There's no stakes to a traitors reunion. Mm-hmm. Like, a Housewives reunion is actually a competition show. They're fighting for their lives. If someone had like a bad season, sometimes they will like vindicate themselves at their reunion and justify them being getting a paycheck for next year. They're winning money by being good at the reunion. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just like people hanging out and having some fun one last time together.
I thought when you said there's stakes, I thought the stakes were going to be friendship, not employment. Oh.
No, it's employment.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. It's like, it is truly like, why are we fighting over this with traitors? But that being said, I mean, like, I did enjoy Dorinda kind of getting her ass handed to her by Bob the drag queen. It's like, she came in so mad, and it's like, What are we doing here, Dorinda?
It was so misplaced. It's like you just decided to let it, like, you were so mad about how the show shook out that you're just putting it all on Bob. And unfortunately, you picked the wrong one.
Yeah.
Proud of Bob.
So from this season, thinking ahead, thinking forward, I know you guys mentioned before we started recording thoughts on future casting. I know you guys have a Patreon episode that's out, up future casting season four, so I won't ask you to get into all of that stuff, but I think that's always a fun thing to do looking ahead to next season. Or a different question, so two separate questions. One, well, who are the reality stars that we feel should be on future seasons of The Traitors? But then also secondarily, if they were to opt into an all-star season, who should come back? Mm.
Ooh.
Well, all-star is top of mind for me. Kyle Cook from Summer House.
Mm-hmm. He was in season one. Yeah.
He was in season one, which is like not, they didn't really have the chance to really shine. And like he was good on season one. Like he didn't have the chance to be good at the game because like the civilians were all afraid to play and like.
Mm-hmm. And no one knew what the game was. We had never seen the season yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think Kyle needs another shot.
I think we need one more season before an All-Stars, but I think after season four, we're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Phaedra comes to mind.
Mm.
MJ comes to mind. Does Kate Chastain get another run? I mean...
She's appeared on all three seasons, which you didn't mention. The Parvati and Kate Chastain cameo, which I thought was great costuming, but largely wasted opportunity.
It was completely wasted. They should have had some kind of stakes and choosing the winner or something.
Yeah.
Giving a hint.
Yeah. That's it. I would like Parvati back, but as a faithful.
Parvati would be my choose.
You know, mm-hmm. Peppermint, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm. Give her another shot.
Run. I mean, Gabby is an all-star.
Gaggy should absolutely come back for sure.
But are we bringing back winners though?
I think you can. I think you need to bring back at least one or two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think that I would like, because I mean, I love all the housewives that have been on, but like definitely Phaedra. And also, guys, I might advocate for Larsa. I feel like she was pretty good.
Oh, wow.
That's a good pick.
Larsa is like randomly like pretty good at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan, your face made a shape when I was.
I mean, love Larsa.
Oh man.
But okay, so shifting back into a season four, non all stars, who do we think who hasn't gotten the shine should on the reality world of things who should get cast?
Yeah.
Candace from Potomac.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like she was the one who was going to be cast last season, but was pregnant. So much like Lindsay Hubbard didn't end up coming on the show because of that.
Lindsay might be good too.
I know.
Yeah, I think we finally need to have somebody from the Jersey Shore join us.
I was just thinking that. Who do you think?
We should go straight for Snooki, I think.
Snooki or, you know what? I think Jenny would be good at this. I think Jenny would be really good.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I think she'd be great. Jenny's good. But I think so Brendan and I were talking about this, how I wonder how many more seasons will Traitors really be the zeitgeist show. And given that, I can't imagine for more than three seasons,
I think you get two. I think you get one more and then you're all stars and then we see how it goes.
So that's why I think we just have to hit big. You got to just bring Snooki. There's no time to waste, you know?
There's no time to waste. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we need Tiffany Pollard, New York ASAP.
Yes. Yes.
And reality TV scholars will know that she had a beef with Gemma Collins, who was a UK reality star when New York was on Big Brother UK.
Mm-hmm.
And their beef is one of the funniest. There's clips online that you will die. And drag queens have done lip syncs to New York dragging Gemma Collins. It's just so perfect. So we need to reunite them.
I like that. I think that's something that's fruitful though. I mean, as much as I was annoyed by Danielle, I think the long running pre-existing Brittany Danielle storyline was helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
So Brandy, I'm thinking I want Cara Marie and Laurel on the same Traitor season.
Okay.
Ooh.
From the challenge. You know what I mean? Good challengers, but also good house people, good house characters that really do have a long running beef that they don't have to worry about squashing for the sake of maybe they'll have to, you know, be on the same fucking team or worry about their next challenge season about it. You know what I mean?
Another challenge person that would be good on Traitors and who I would hate every second of the way is Polly.
Interesting.
Oh, Polly from Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
Originally Big Brother, then challenge.
Oh.
Used to date Cara Maria. They're no longer together. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what if they did Traitors exes?
Traitors exes. See, now we're thinking like producers, guys. That's good.
Well, Polly's brother was on season one.
Yeah.
Cody. That's
right. Cody was his brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, his brother's name is Cody.
This is good.
If we're doing Traitors X's, then we could do Craig Conover from Southern Charm and Paige DeSorbo from
Oh My God
from Summer House.
Oh my God, guys! I can't wait for Traitors X's.
That's gonna be so good. All right, let's close the loop on the Traitors. Let's do our quick BFF questions. That's gonna be the best move. Doesn't need to be from the back half of the season. We can talk full season since we didn't have you guys on for the first half. But best move by either a traitor or a faithful. And then we're going to go with favorite cast member. And then we're going to go with what's the moment that you'll think about forever from this season. Dan and Brenda, why don't you start with your best moves?
Okay. My best move, and we touched on it already, but it really deserves attention. Sam Asghari doing something at breakfast with like the questioning of everyone after the face-to-face killing. Like I was like, oh my God, we're playing the game here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe the best investigative moment, like by the book of anyone all season.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Sandoval spoiled it.
Of course. Of course he did.
My best move is more of like what could have been. Brittany ending up voting Danielle out. I feel like could have been, had everything to be like a great, great reality TV moment if she would have clinched the win after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if it were her idea and she wasn't like catatonic afterwards in such a way that everyone just assumed that she voted out a traitor.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like if she took the power behind that move. Yeah.
Like going into having the cliffhanger. And if she actually ended up being the traitor who won, it would have been iconic, but it wasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Brandy, what do you think?
Sam's move was really good. But I feel like Gabby, like, low-key was, like, kind of playing a great game all season.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she was always on top of, like, kind of knowing who, like, who the suspicion was on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, because she like sounds like such a dumb blonde, nobody really listened to her. I feel like she suffered from the same thing that Carolyn suffered from, which was that like nobody really took her seriously because of how she sounds.
Yeah, I'm going to co-sign that because I had my best move being Gabby's defense against Danielle at the final roundtable. Because I feel like the vibe, the pattern was if you get come after, you get sunk. And it's a close vote or you lose that vote. And Gabby was so strong in her defense that she flipped it back onto Ivor. There was actually no voting for Gabby after her defense rested, and I thought that was a really strong moment.
Yeah
That dovetails very easily into my favorite cast member of the whole entire season, which was Gabby, and it's not even close. This will forever be the Gabby season.
I mean, is this sure unanimous?
I think it's unanimous. I mean, listen, I stan Dylan. He's up there, but like Gabby definitely, like she's the one that I'm following on all social media now. She's the one that I'm like, oh, you have a podcast? Let me check that out. Like, you know, like she's the one I'm interested in now.
Totally.
Gabby transcends.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does. And that also is one of my forever moment. The moment, the screenshot, the image I'll think of forever is Gabby and Danielle sitting next to each other in absolute total silence. Danielle slumped halfway out of her chair. Meanwhile, Gabby just like looking over and just giving face like constantly.
I love it.
It was like the best burned in my brain image of the season.
My favorite moment of the season that will live on forever in my mind is the round table where Wes got kicked off. And just fire from Boston Rob, from Wes in the defense, Derek laying out his case. The fact that Derek laid out such a great case that nobody was really voting for Boston Rob, I was just like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And I saw a thing that that Alan Cummings said that like they had to tell him, like, Alan, what's your face?
Oh, yes.
He also couldn't believe that they weren't voting for Boston Rob. But like, that was just like, that was a thrilling round table.
That was
like,
a good just, one.
I love back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, the moment I'll remember forever is when Rob turns on Bob the drag queen. And you can see on Bob's face for a split second, like, the shock of like, I got caught, I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like they go back and forth and like, that's fun. But like, if you like look for a split second, he knows he's done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was my most iconic roundtable of the season. And I will say, in a season full of pretty dynamic in fairly like every other pretty spot on was like a good roundtable, you know, for mm-hmm. every like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I guess it's Nikki, you know, kind of follow the crowd vote. There was some really, the traitor on traitor violence was pretty exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
And it really played out at the roundtable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the thing I'll remember the most is actually a Tom on Tom violence when Sandoval said during the round table that women are more likely to be cheaters.
Thank God someone brought this up. Exceptional
That's
moment.
So funny. Television.
It was great.
It was so, so perfect. Just like, I loved the reaction, especially from the Bravo girls. And then yeah. the other, like some of the other women who you could tell are like watchers of Vanderpump Rules or at least kept up with like mm-hmm. Scandoval of it all. It was fun.
Brandy, I'd love to pass the baton to you and our two guests just for a little bit of a Bravo roundup. You mentioned that there's a lot going on in the Bravo universe right now with the current Housewives franchises. I've actually dipped my feet into a Bravo franchise that I will reveal as it comes up. I know I haven't told you this, Brandy, so it's exciting. But
okay.
Take it away. Like, what's going on? What are some of the best favorite moments of the last couple months in the Bravo sphere right now?
I feel like one of the biggest thing that's happened in the Bravo sphere is that Karen Huger is in jail.
Ooh, yeah.
That was, I feel like we all knew that it was coming. So for those of you who aren't aware, Real Housewives of Potomac, Karen Huger, the Grand Dame, she's been there since the beginning, and she was arrested for a DUI. It's kind of played up as just being like, oh, like Karen got a DUI. That really sucks. But like, you know, whatever, like, you know, no harm, no foul. Da, da, da. No, no, no. It now comes out that this is her fourth DUI.
Yeah.
And the judge like threw the book at her, gave her 2 years and was like, you're going to jail right now.
Yeah.
And the response of the housewife was, you're going to make her take off her wig.
The fact that she is in jail right now is so wild to me. Like, it just happened right immediately after. And then, obviously, there was the really explosive body cam footage where she says all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the fact that she refused to take a plea deal and she decided to go to trial with it, knowing that that footage existed potentially. Like,
it's insane that she went to trial knowing that footage existed.
I would say like it was shocking. You know, Potomac was this was like a transitional season, mm-hmm. I think, after a very bad season last year. And it like started off slow and like wasn't amazing. And then the last few episodes of the season were getting better and better. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we ended up getting, this is season 9, I believe, was probably the best reunion. One best cast reunion. Member's not mm-hmm. there because she went to rehab because in order to like try to reduce her jail sentence. And then one leaves halfway through.
And no one follows her.
And no one follows and no one cares. And it's still amazing with like so many people not in the room. It's nuts. It was so good.
It was really good. It was like, it was the first reunion that I'm like, that was worthy of three parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say to just talk Bravo writ large this year, a few things. One, mm-hmm. Salt Lake City delivered the best season of television that I have seen in years. From start to finish, I've been watching Housewives since the gates of the OC opened in 2005. Okay, but Salt Lake was so good this year that like I went into it being like Angie K, like whatever, like I don't love her, like like there were so many things that I was just like, it's like who are these new people, like whatever, but like wow,
it was so good and it was shocking coming off of such a great season last year.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. hard to have two good ones in a row.
Yeah.
The fact that they I feel like almost topped, because last season was the one with the reveal of Monica as Reality Von Teese, which was like, you know, that receipts proof timeline. And the fact that they came into this season and like still just like absolutely played. And I think a big part of it was that Mary Cosby came to play.
Yeah.
Yes, that was big. But Dan, I don't know if this crossed your desk, but it's so insane. At the final dinner on in the finale, they played a game where they had to pull from their phone the worst thing they've like said or texted about somebody at the table.
This did make it through. Yeah.
And then give their phone to that person and let them read it. So like they are reading the horrible things that are being said about them. Yeah. It was so bonkers. But like the way that some of the women are like taking it so seriously, because the idea is like they read it and then we turn it away. And it's like they've just read the most horrible things that you can imagine. And they're like, I accept that. And I agree to move on with you. And it's like, what are you talking about?
It only could happen in Lake City with that specific cast. For some reason, I don't know what's in the water in Salt Lake, but it's salt.
And holy water.
And I mean, it's like, this was a season where we thought, okay, losing Monica Garcia, who was like the impetus for so much of what made the previous season good. We thought a lot of people were like, oh,
yeah,
it's not going to be as good. But then we added brand new people, brought one person back, brought this like kooky woman named Brittany Bateman in. God, I love her.
She was the perfect. But like, guys, that just speaking about the text, I was like, I have to go back because Angie K's text.
Oh, my God. It's poetic, really.
Yeah.
Wrong one seems nice. I like her business plan. Marrying a guy who has 1 foot in
the grave. So sick.
Oh God.
I love it. So Salt Lake was firing. I feel like the miss that we had was New York.
And this is a new cast, right? This is the continuing adventures of new cast.
This is the second year with the new cast. And let me tell you why I'm mad. Because my friend had made t-shirts last year. Like, you know, the like so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, like all like you know what I mean? Made one like for all the New York Housewives. And like Jessel saw it on his Instagram and like thought it was a real shirt and was like, oh my God, can I get one?
Oh my God.
It's like, I'm making her one. I was like, make me one too.
Yeah.
I love it. And it's such a comfortable shirt. But now I feel that like I can't wear it anymore because I can't support, like, I can't, like, I don't like it after this season.
Yeah. And I would imagine it's not going to be the same women again next season.
Yeah.
Because they got people at least watching again by the end. But it was like we were all watching a literal like horror show because it was just like,
it was a toughie.
So tough, so uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Brandy, have you tuned into the new season of Atlanta?
I have. I watched the first episode today and I'm into it. I'm into the new girl.
We're back.
You know, I'm sad that Kenya's not going to be a part of it, but like, it feels like what she did was like pretty reprehensible.
Mm-hmm. I think the headline, though, is Shamia, somebody who's been in our lives for years. It's
almost a joke.
I know. Yeah. But the star power she has to center that cast is incredible.
Yeah. Love
and
that.
It feels real.
Yeah.
So Shamia is a friend of Portia's and she's been a friend of for what? Like, I mean, really since Portia?
9 years.
Like, yeah.
They showed a flashback clip from like 2015.
Yeah. And so now she's kind of like the nucleus of everyone.
Oh, okay.
And but it makes sense. And also, like, she's really rich. Like, she has a $9 million house in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So let me ask this question then. So of the current or recent franchises that are kind of going now, what's the best and what's your favorite?
Oof.
This is just based on current goings on. This is not all time. This is not it's just kind of like a snapshot of right now in the Bravo universe.
Well, we only really have Beverly Hills, Atlanta just started, Summer House.
Well, the ones that just concluded as well, like in the last know, like 6 months of the Bravo verse, what's the best? What's your favorite?
I mean, the best is Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say my favorite, I'm going to go with probably Summer House. Just because like, I like being there. I like being in the sun.
I'm with you.
I like being at the pool. Like, I like people being like, I like to see how they are dealing with the fact that they're growing up, because I think that's an issue on like a lot of these Bravo shows, that like we get into them when like everybody's young and like it's really fun to like be wasted all the time. But like, it's been 12 years.
Yeah.
And some of us are in our early 40s.
Well, don't tell Kyle Cook that.
Oh my God.
Kyle Cook has never looked better. I mean, I can't believe he's 42 and like he's aging in reverse.
So, Brandy, this is my news. Today I started Summer House.
Oh my God. Wait, where did you start? Like in the first season?
No. So this is the question. This is the discussion that I want to have. So I started with season 9. So it's the currently airing season. There's only 4 episodes so far. I'm like, I could do this. I feel like this type of show, I don't mind dropping in. And then I would do the Remy Casimir prequel strategy where it's like I watch a season and then I go back and get to see how these characters got to where they are. It's like a long-running prequel. So I was talking to Dan and Brendan, and the question was, I want to watch more. Should I do that concurrently as I'm watching season 9? Or should I just kind of watch along with everybody season 9, and then when that finishes, then go back from the beginning and rewatch? What would you suggest?
I mean, this is a wild season to start in because I feel like the people that we're seeing this season are very, very different than the Summer House that we know. Like, like just the whole Carl Lindsay dynamic. Like, while I'm very happy that like they're getting along and like being civil and stuff, like it's weird.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, they're doing a lot of flashback heavy lifting with those two. I've learned a lot about the two of them in 2.5 episodes already.
Yeah.
I would say maybe finish this season and then go back to see like kind of how things came to be. I feel like you're going to need to go back. I would say, because like I was the person that like I watched the first season of Summer House and then I fell off of it.
Yeah.
But then I came back probably like 2 seasons ago. Like I came back the season before the crazy Lindsay Carl breaking up season.
Okay.
But I still like, I would check in, like I knew kind of what was going on, but like, I wasn't really there for like when everybody hates Hannah and, you know, like kind of when all that stuff was going down. So I think that like, I think that you're good to finish out this season because they're going to catch you up on when you need to know a plot point, like you'll know it.
Yeah. And what's interesting is now, like, I feel like I know Sierra a little bit. I feel like I know Kyle a little bit from Traitors. I feel like I know about Paige from the Giggly Squad of it all. Like I have a few more ins for this season, so it doesn't feel like I'm coming in totally blind, which is interesting. And then also you guys are saying like 2 of the guys that I'm watching that just seem like they've been there forever, this is only their second season.
Right. Yeah, Wes and Jesse.
Wes and Jesse, and then there's 2 more new girls that just joined. So now all of a sudden it's like half this cast is new to this house anyway, in a weird way. So
that's how it is every season.
Yeah, 2 girls joined this season. One of them actually, I think in this episode right now, she stops showing up. So like she's not even in the cast.
Yeah.
Bailey. Yeah.
Not the one that immediately is trying to hook up with Jesse.
Yeah.
Wait, can we talk about Lexi for a second? And that, because first of all, in a lot of like the recap episodes I listen to, like it's killing me softly because they all are like, oh yeah, she's like 21. I'm like, no. She's like 27 at least and like should know better. And let me tell you what some red flags are. Red flags are that people at the club know your dad's name. Because first of all, like people aren't even really going to the club anymore. So first of all, okay. Like nightlife is dead.
Yeah.
But, like, second of all, like not the flex that you think it is. Okay. And like, I speak as a person that has children who I love my children very much. Guess what I'm not doing with my
going dad? To the club.
I'm not going to the club. Like, I'm not here to be your friend.
I mean, the fact that like when Jesse was talking about like what they did that night, they were like at one location, went back to Lexi's apartment, drank for 4 hours, and then went to the club. And we're talking about like people in their 50s, at least youngest for that family, right?
Yeah. Like it's so weird. And then also like Jesse like putting on the moves like so hardcore on Lexi. And then all of a sudden she's like, yeah, no, and I don't sleep with anybody unless I really like them. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
and it's just like, why are you so typical?
He's something this year. He's given me the bad vibes this year.
Yeah, he's too into it. Oh, another show that we didn't talk about, and because it didn't enter into my best or my favorite, but it is a show that's on and I am watching it. And that is Southern Charm.
Ooh.
How do you guys feel about Southern Charm?
I was watching the beginning of the season, but I kind of fell off a little bit. To tell you the truth, but I've been like kind of watching what's happening with like the Shep of it all and like with is Sierra her name?
Sierra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I just need to catch up on Southern Charm. It's just tough because it's not one that we like cover for our podcast. So it always falls low on the list.
Yeah.
I feel like Southern Charm for me is relevant because it is the reference point for the accents on White Lotus.
Oh my god.
Guys, I have to say that when I first started watching White Lotus, like the Jason Isaacs character, I was like, he sounds just like Thomas Ravenel from Southern Charm. And then it comes out that he is.
Okay, so Mike White is actually like plucking a little bit more than just accents from it, because in this last episode of White Lotus, like Jason Isaacs is saying like, oh, my grandfather was like the governor or something. And like, that's also like
a plot point
in Southern Charm.
Southern Charm is suffering from the everybody's getting too old.
Right.
Yeah.
For this and too old and also like too famous, like Charleston too small of a town. And like, they're too. And I feel like Southern Hospitality, which is like the spinoff show from Southern Charm is like kind of doing it better, but it's because they have younger people.
Sure.
Right.
And that's when this kind of show works, is when you can be young and dumb. Like it's hard to watch somebody like, for instance, I don't know if you guys saw the Valley trailer that just came out.
Oh my God.
That's what happened. They said, okay, guys, we're giving you a second season. You better bring it.
And they did.
Every single person. I'm like, okay, who's going to play Nia? What? Also still hate Janet.
Janet. Yeah.
Oh my God. I got so much. I just loved Kristen Doty calling her a fan as an insult during that trailer.
Also, I've forgotten that Kristen Doty is pregnant, you guys. And also like that Luke even came to play in that trailer.
I know.
I thought we were going to get like a Doty pregnant moment, but we only have the engagement.
Right.
Yeah. I bet we probably find out towards that, because she's kind of pretty pregnant now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's all like perfectly timed. Like engagement's probably like early on in the season.
Uh-huh. Pregnancy, and then we're gonna find out the
finale.
Pregnancy.
You know,
I can't wait. I didn't love seeing Lala.
Oh God, yeah.
I don't like. So stay on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah.
I don't know how the valley works, but
I think you got it down.
I think you got it,
boys. Any other Bravo highlights or anything for listeners to look out for as far as what you guys are covering over on your podcast?
We didn't really talk about Beverly Hills, but it's nothing to talk about. It's not that special right now, unfortunately. So we're like trudging through that at the moment.
At least we're not in Augusta anymore.
Oh, I loved being in Augusta.
I didn't mind being in Augusta. I will say that. But like, we were there for like a really long time, and it was getting really dark.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay there for the rest of the season. So we have that. We have Summer House. We are loving Atlanta right now, and we also keep our eye on what's currently filming. And Orange County's filming right now. Salt Lake City's filming.
Here's a question, because we're just talking about how Salt Lake ended with a bang and they're filming. How quick are these turnarounds? How often are these ladies in any particular franchise on television in a given year?
It depends. If things are feeling good, they will pick up filming like about a few weeks after the reunion finishes airing. So they film the reunion about a month more or less before it airs. And then, so then they get like a 2 month break there. And then between like them filming the show and it coming out, they have a few months of a break there as well. But it's always on the mind. They're either filming it or they're promoting it, you know?
So. Yeah. I mean, early in New Jersey, they were cooking with gas in like seasons 3 and 4 that it got so much overlap that someone didn't show up to a reunion because they had gotten into a fight at a cast filming event the night before that was happening for the next season.
Next season.
Yeah.
I love it. Just like Inception layers.
That was such great Jersey, though.
I don't know what's going to happen there, but.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I mean, yeah, we keep our eye on pretty much everything going on Bravo, on Come Through Queen. And then we have our Patreon where we do extensive conversations, like we do our dream cast for next season of Traitors. And then we do a pre-show where we talk more pop culture stuff. Like we go in depth with the Mayhem release by Lady Gaga this week.
Oh my God. What are you, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. I mean, okay, I'll listen.
We're loving it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And my particular favorite song is How Bad Do You Want Me? That's like,
it's mine too.
Just like on loop for me.
Oh my God. Is that the one that they, that the Swifties are like, she's yes. copying Taylor. And it's yes. like, Taylor could never, bitch. She invented this.
Yeah.
Stephanie
yeah.
Germatha invented this. Okay. Like, you think you know pop?
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, definitely check out Come Through Queen podcast. I love it. Even if I'm not watching all the shows, I clock in for your Traitors coverage. I will now be catching up and clocking in for your Summer House coverage.
Oh, yeah.
So looking forward to that. Thank you both for coming on. This was super fun. Until next season of the Traitors, but maybe sooner.
Yeah.
And we'll be back soon with more on the TV BFFs feed. Until next time, bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye.
You've arrived here at a critical moment.